Nerd Appropriate presents exclusive coverage of the BioWare base, recorded live at PAX Prime 2013.
All right, welcome to the Rated NA podcast for the website nerdappropriate.com. As you'll notice, this is not a numbered podcast. We're doing a whole special series for you.
Yeah, we're going to be bringing you a total of 12 different podcasts recorded live at the BioWare base this year's PAX Prime. So make sure to click subscribe and enjoy.
All right. So, we are continuing our fantastic programming here at the BioWare base. And let's give a round of applause for our phenomenal panelists here today. Oh, come on. You guys can do better than that. Come on. Oh, yeah. There we go. Yeah. Amazing. So we're here, Dragon Age Inquisition, Equipment Basics. I'm going to let our panelists introduce themselves, and let's get this started.
I'm Tyler Lee. I'm the UI lead for Dragon Age Inquisition and Grand Pooba of customization, except for when Matt trumps me.
I don't do that. Matt Goldman, art director.
Jason Hill, a technical designer.
I'm Matt Rhodes, senior concept artist, or lead concept artist on Dragon Age.
Talking in the mic.
This one's not working, and I don't think this one's working. I've got two broken mics.
You gonna reach over?
Matt?
Yeah. I'm the regular Matt. He's the R-spec.
You caught it. We have a lot of Matts, Marks, Mikes at work. Yeah. So
we like to keep it simple.
Mike.
We're all about customization. We all wore the same T-shirt. largely, you know, two hairdos, really. You can expect this level of customization in all our products.
This is probably going to be the most sarcastic panel we have. So
probably.
Just forewarned. I don't have a clicker, but we're going to show a few slides from the game and stuff. So I will just have to say next and politely backstage if we change. So thank you. We're just going over the basics, our goals and everything, how we started this. I started working on crafting and items 2 years ago, and I've been working on steadily since. So our goals, party customization like Origins. Everybody liked being able to change gear. The iconic appearances of DA2 that inspired so much great cosplay and everything. Accessible to everyone, but depth within reach. And modern presentation of classic RPG mechanics. So with that, first slide should be the inventory. So this is our dude. Look at the categories. He's got lots of things. So if you go to the next slide, you can see we're trying to keep things nice and clean. Just the most important information up front, but you can always get to that within a couple button presses. So first, we'd like to show, next slide, please. You can equip party members with full gear, just like the Inquisitors. Our follower, Vivian, you see she has armor, and with a button press, we'll just show her wearing some different robes. There we go. If you go to the next slide, you can look at the details closer if you care. So there's the Battle Mage staff she's wearing, and if you examine the button press, bring in the details, compare it to other items, examine, look at the stats. We've upgraded made the weapons and armor more complex, I guess. We have upgrades that you can change the grip, change the head, change parts, change your shoulders, change your leggings, and customize the weapon to your exact playstyle. Next slide, please. So comparing your gear. If you want to take something that the Inquisitor was wearing and put it on someone else, I believe that's this. Yeah. So the banded coat. I found something better. If you look a couple down, there's superior plate mail. I'm going to... Yep, keep going. Sorry. Next slide. Yeah, so the superior plate mail, a little bit better armor, good constitution, magic defense. You can see side by side. Okay, yeah, I'm definitely going to equip this one. If you hit next slide. All right, it looks way more badass. Awesome. Heavy. I have another follower, Cassandra. I will probably equip that on, because she doesn't have very good gear on right now. You click our next one. Next. There we go. There's Cassandra. She's wearing scale mail, 32 armor. And you can just go through the next couple slides, and I'll see the banded coat that I just took off and put on her. She has her own appearance. Every follower has their own appearance set that how it translates from one to another. So that's a basic overview of how we'll be handling equipment customization, just with the inventory, equipping gear in the wild, just like in previous games. Next slide. And yeah, so lots more to come. We have other things we'll show, but just not today. The upgrade system, which I talked about earlier, that's you'll go back to your base and modify the equipment, craft new items, and enchantment. So, that's all I have to show for the inventory and items right now. I think Jason had a couple things he was going to mention just about base customization of your player base. I'll pass it off to him.
Yeah, so customization hopefully doesn't just land on the followers and what they look like. Player strongholds, the hope is that we give you the choice and the ability to have it look like your Inquisition. So your stronghold should look be the manifestation of your Inquisition, almost like another party member. One person's player base should look completely different than another person's. You're going to be exploring this vast area, finding lots of cool things in it. So hopefully you'll be able to take that stuff and put it in your base type stuff. So finding cool things, earning achievements and accolades, and having that represented in your player base. So awesome.
Awesome. And yeah, customization, we are approaching it from pretty much every facet of the game of how does the user change this stuff. So the story, everything we can do to make the experience feel like it's customized to your Inquisition. We want to make sure it's make your mark. That's constantly what we're saying, right? So, mm-hmm. With that, I guess we'll ready to pass over to questions, unless Jessica has any.
Are you guys nervous?
A little bit.
Because that was the super brief version of the most complicated thing we've ever made. Every character is taking like 10 man years to make. And it's like embedded in that. There's like literally a folder that takes up an entire server for each character worth of concepts.
Yeah, there wasn't. Yeah, you didn't get the sense of the blood and the screaming and the tears. But
it's more. Yeah, 2 years of this. There's a lot we're not supposed to talk about yet.
So we're going to tell you more of it.
Yeah,
this is ridiculously complicated, and it's an embed. Well, You'll learn.
The goal was with the inventory and items, everybody needs to use the inventory. Everybody needs the loot. So you're going to have customization for your character. But the more complex the system, the more optional it becomes. If you want to just assemble armor, that's fine. If you want to get into start crafting things and changing the colors and doing things I'm not allowed to talk about yet, that's all available.
It's kind of sweet because in a PAX appropriate, like in the future, being able to see not just a few Variks, but if a few people wanted to dress up as Varik, everyone would know who they were, but there would be a bunch of different versions of them that were like it was like almost a rainbow of.
Yeah. The party appearances, it's one of the most fun thing to work on because, like, not only do we get the Imagineer stuff, but seeing what the cosplayers come up with is great. And I've heard a couple times Rhodes just like, just try and make this one. And then they're like, oh, that's amazing. What am I going to do next? So, yeah. So, questions?
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm popping in the back.
I couldn't help but notice that in the Vivienne slide where you were talking about the different weapons she could equip, there was a greatsword listed.
Oh, yeah, I didn't have filtering turned on, so I think all the weapons were present there. So you could just so you could see all the items.
Okay.
You'll be able to filter by type.
No, the actual question was,
sorry.
Am I able to equip my party members outside of their specialization field?
Classes will have restrictions. So mages use mage weapons, rogues use rogue weapons, warriors use warrior weapons,
yeah.
Just like in previous games. Is that your... Is that...
I was trying to be a bit more specific, could I say a 200 companion, a 200 warrior companion, wield a sword and shield?
Like, are there restrictions for, like, strength and things like that?
In Dragon Age 2, for example, Isabella, despite being a rogue, couldn't equip
bows. Oh, I
bows.
See. Yeah. Rogues can equip bows and daggers. Yes. Yes. So
even companion NPCs?
Yeah, so, yes. The followers aren't locked to one weapon type. Sorry.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay, I'm going to run. I'm running. See you.
So, sorry, a few slides back you said that you could customize weapons down to, like, their grip or something like that. Can you give us an example of what, say, a better grip for a weapon would do for you, or what level of customization you can do for a weapon?
So our crafting system is very complicated. It depends on how you made that grip. So if I had a sword that had an empty rune slot, and I put, this is similar to previous games, a fire rune in there, it would give it a fire effect, and you would do fire damage. With the upgrades, think of it as enchantment 2.0. So you have a grip that might add a little bit of extra damage, but also give you resistance to magic, or give you another perk. So runes are special, and more, you get a little more bang for your buck. But upgrades are something that's more commonly, like, for regular stats, I guess.
I think there's numerous axes. There's visual design. You can change that around. Am I done? There's the materialing. There's the actual properties as well as runes. So there's actually multiple different axes you can customize your weapon. So it will look and perform totally differently. Or you can make a series of swords that all look the same if you wanted, but have different properties.
You might just want to put a cool skull on the head of it just because it looks bitchin'.
Of course. Yeah. Flaming skull.
Flaming skull.
Skulls plus flames equal.
Awesome.
Exactly.
Synergy.
So with these customizations, do any of them change maybe the combat animations?
Steve.
Well,
I don't want to answer animations questions.
Yeah. I think the way we're arranging it, again, is that there are certain schools of abilities. So if you learn how to use a greatsword, that the ability is defined by that, not by the thing you're holding.
So I think I'm kind of understanding what you guys are shooting for, but what you're planning is, like, through the crafting thing. Like, you're going to be able to make a suit of armor, okay, and it's the plate mail. But because you're making it, maybe you can even add, like, it'll have maybe, like, shoulders that are different, right? Like, you can completely customize the appearance, you know, within, like, things. Like, okay, I could build one shape, one plate instead of, say, plate mail, but these shoulders could have skulls on them. Or they could be, like...
They should have skulls.
Like, oh, they should have skulls. I don't think they should have skulls. But they could have, like, anything on them. They could be, like seashells or something. Like, just it's up to you to decide, like, what you want to do with it, right? Like, that's kind of what you guys are shooting for here, eh? That's really awesome.
We should say, yeah, there isn't a concept for that, but
we do have a concept for that. I remember the pearly armor guy.
Oh yeah,
my favorite one.
That does exist. But no, there's. We should say it's not infinite, but as far it opens it up too for the idea of, you know, additions later on, or like a system that. That is very friendly to, like, more just being piled onto it.
So you mentioned how the different armors will look different on different characters. If you find one of the early armors that you really like the look of, can you use the customization system to sort of keep that armor competitive with the late game stuff you'll find?
You can. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. That's actually one of the big things. I personally wanted that, on... say some of our previous games where there was 2.41 quadrillion different item combinations, but really there was only so many that actually looked cool that you'd want to wear around. So I wanted to divorce the stats and the behavior of the object and what it looks like. So every visual combination is cool. You're not ever going to be wearing, you know, dirty rags to begin with the game. You're the Inquisitor. You have to look awesome. You have to intimidate people. Need skulls. So once you have that, yeah, you can continually upgrade that, find better materials. You can keep making your favorite pair of pants, and they can just get, you know, more and more stats associated until I'm not exactly sure what the end point is, but it's pretty ridiculous.
We kind of like always discussing this. There are kind of three groups. There's the people that only care about the visual appearance. There's people that only care about the stats. And then there's most of us. We're on the middle, like, well, I care about this and I care about that, mm-hmm. and progression. So, yeah, we've been very, like, very aware of that. Like, I want to look how I want to look, and I want my stats how I want. So,
yeah.
It's about player choice.
Yeah. I mean, it's choice. I think it said, again, make wild promises here. and they're true promises. That it's, I would say, MMO level of customization. But each character, we're trying to try to keep it so that they are recognizable. So that Varric doesn't, you know, not look like Varric. Like, he has a personality. He dresses a certain way. He's kind of a, you know, flamboyant character. So he's not going to be wearing dirty old rags ever, right? Silk rags.
So kind of branching off of that, how each character has their specific style, when you're trying to customize an item and how it's going to appear possibly for a particular character especially, is there some way of knowing what it's going to look like on that particular character versus another one while you're doing the visual customization?
The Omni Paper Doll. Yeah, you can, as you're doing it, you can just quickly look at, well, what does this look like on Cassandra? What does this look like on Vivian? It's like, well, it looks sweet on Vivian, and I don't care that she's a mage. She's going to wear it, so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you'll be able to pre-visualize everything, yeah, and check it out. And again, you can have those stats. I'm not sure if we're calling it a recipe right now, which is not maybe the best word because it sounds like buns. But you have a certain combination of, you know, characteristics and materialing, and then you can choose, you know, Vivian's collar that you like the best and apply that to her as well. So if you want to, you can get in there, and this is like an entire game. This is like the, you know, Dragon Age dress up game where you can go totally crazy and go to town and make exactly what you want.
All right, so this might be outside the scope of what you can talk about, but how you're talking about crafting this armor, and that's awesome. What about the gathering of the materials? Like, what's that going to look like, or can we not talk about that yet?
Well, we have a huge world now, and we have to fill it with things. So,
mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, we're trying to make it so it's you know, it's like part of the gameplay. It's not just extraneous. You go forth into the world. It's a, you know, you get paid back by going off the beaten path. There's like the super highway over to the crit path thing that you need to do. But then if you go off the beaten path and like root around in the weeds, you can find something, or, you know, chop a special nug in half and steal its skin. And then when you go back to its base,
they're too fast right now.
They are too fast, but you can, like, you can totally, it's tactical, man. You can, like, put your guys at one end of a slot canyon and then run through here, like, shooting fireballs, and then they all run into the trap.
Yeah.
True story. And so, yeah, I mean, you collect, and then you get stuck on, you know, I can't get past this boss. So you have to circle back and improve your gear so that you can access the higher level content.
We want to reward you for going to places that, you know, aren't found or whatever, like regularly, and having really difficult areas that, you know, this is going to be really hard to fight, but you will get awesome rewards, and that might be a recipe, that might be materials that you couldn't get mm-hmm. otherwise.
So what you're saying is, in addition to skulls, there will be nug skulls.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Nug skulls.
Yeah, nug skulls, necklace of nug hands.
baby
you writing this down,
hands.
Matt?
Yeah, let me.
Maybe next question.
Yeah, next question.
Okay, so let's say, for instance, I get like a really cool. Right here.
Awesome.
Hey,
like, if I run into like, let's say for this, that armor right there, or if I run into like a brown jacket or whatever, can I change that color to like black or whatever, or change that armor color to pink?
My design criteria for Tyler's, I want my Inquisition to be hot pink argyle.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you
man.
You feel me?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
So hot pink argyle Inquisition running riot across the land.
Absolutely.
So yeah, black to brown, not a problem.
That's okay. The running joke in the studio is the Pinkquisition. So.
Pinkquisition, yeah.
Sorry, I'm not in shape. Okay, so we've been talking about character customization, but you guys talked about customizing your character's keep or castle or whatever camp, I guess, is probably accepted. So you're talking about, is it inside or is it also going to, like, can I have a castle made out of skulls, for example, if we're going with that analogy there? Or is it just going to be interior skulls?
That would be cool.
There's a church in Portugal that's made out of human bones.
There is.
Fun fact.
Mm-hmm. Can't go into too much detail on that, but like I said, you should be able to explore, find stuff, and apply it to your stronghold, and have the choice to, I want these things up here, then you go and you find, oh, these ones are way better. So the option to go pick those, like I said, it should be your Inquisition, so whatever style and... you feel you're as you're playing. So,
mm-hmm. So there'll definitely be a level of customization. We, to be honest, we should probably not talk about that. We're told we should hint at it, but not tell you anything. So I'll just throw it out there. You're not allowed to know right now. We'll let you know later.
As long as you're skulls.
Absolutely.
Mark Dare is not in the room, and neither is marketing. So no one will know.
True.
So but there's going to be mechs in the game.
Yeah.
Lasers.
Skull mechs. And... yeah. Bamboo rocket powered airplanes.
Yeah, we were talking about taking the helicopters from Battlefield.
Yeah.
Sweet.
I was curious how the cultures of the various races and factions in the game are guiding your design choices on items.
Hugely. Yeah, that's been a huge element of the entire Inquisition design process is more and more of an emphasis on the countries and the races and the whole world, and trying to flesh it out more and more. So really nowhere more than in the Inquisitor and the stuff that and your party does that, like, show what's going on. So you go to, you know, these various places around the world, you're going to collect stuff that you can only find there, you know. Again, more of that incentive to just go and explore and find stuff that you couldn't find elsewhere. I mean, you know, find out where a creature lives, and like if you need its leather, you know, that's where you go to get it, that kind of thing. But then also as well, I mean, part of the fun is like to build to even just from a concept art perspective to be designing as robust a set of armors and pieces and bits that can be combined, you kind of have to draw on stuff that's been established. So, you know, Ferelden has a particular culture and various other cultures, you know, that I won't go into too much detail on. But these various places just have a way of building things, of doing things, of designing things, and it helps really to flesh out those sets.
Yeah, it's really cool. Then back to the player choice thing where you can go out and see... for instance, so a certain faction looks a certain way, then by all means, maybe you can have your Inquisition look similar type thing. It's all about style, player choice. So you get some really cool mm-hmm. things out of that.
Any other questions? There we go.
You guys are making Jessica work.
Someone over there asked the next question.
Yeah.
There was, while you're on your way, actually, there was one of the shots of the Inquisitor. Like they showed a bunch of the templates that are out there. One of them has like this gold armor that you can only get, you know, from a particular group and that kind of thing. So, yeah.
As a follow-up question to the part where you mentioned you can drop recipes, etc., it's a two-part. First, apart from getting the recipes from, say, trainers or drops, can you actually experiment with the crafting and see if you can just with the materials and the forge get something? And would this experimenting or any kind of crafting happen just as the stronghold, anyway on the road, on specific camps?
So the first part I'm not going to answer.
And the second part we're going to evade.
I actually am going to answer the second one because there was a thing that bugged me a lot in Origins. And I have a screenshot from when I was fighting the Archdemon and I ran out of health potions. So I just... dinkle, 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 dinkle. Started making some potions right there. So, no, you can't craft wherever. It's fixed to places where you have your alchemy table or whatever it is.
Yeah, I think to create a greater sense of danger and, you know, suspend disbelief to that extent kind of breaks immersion to me, where, yeah, you break out your Bunsen burner right while a dragon's about to bite you in the face is a little ridiculous. So, you know, the potions are limited and the environments are dangerous. There's a, you know, there's suspense. Whether, you know, that stupid wolf that you could just punch in the face because you had all your hit points, not a problem. But when you have one hit point, you've got to make it back to your outpost and they start howling and they're, like, running after you, then it could get scary.
That pink armor wasn't so smart now.
Yeah, exactly. That's the pink armor that smells of meat, of nug hands.
Oh. I'm going to have to make all this now.
Pink dye only comes from one place.
Yeah, it's true.
Is there going to be any sort of level system involved with the crafting? Like, say I haven't done any crafting and I'm a high enough level and all of a sudden I want to make a bright pink suit of armor, but is there going to be any sort of, like, you have to have done this much crafting previously?
Oh, man, is there?
I'm not going to answer that.
Yeah. Well, it wouldn't. That would be giving up an opportunity to make it more complicated, wouldn't it?
Yes.
So, yeah.
It's not exactly like a level system. I'll say that. But there is some, you get more the more you use it.
So I don't know if this has been covered or not. I kind of got the panel late. Is there, like, a playable backstory, like, in the first game, or?
Well, none of us are writers, so right. I will commit us to that.
Does, like, the race and background you choose actually, like, kind of color the options available to you as far as crafting goes?
Yeah, traditionally, as in all the games, race background makes a difference on how you're going to experience your Inquisition, your playthrough.
Mm-hmm.
People should react to you differently if you are a canary with giant horns versus a timid little dwarf. Yes.
That'd be weird.
Ah.
Here we go.
If you play as a dwarf, are you able to kind of recreate the wonderful chest hair displaying objects of Eric? Like, drawing on that inspiration?
I think it's safe enough to say the chest hair hasn't gone anywhere. And in fact, I think I've said it before, that the Frostbite's technology allows for a level
unprecedented
of chest hair.
Unprecedented level of chest hair. Other hair.
I'm sorry. I had to take a break. I had to compose myself. I'm sorry. I'm still not ready. Any more hands? More hands?
Yeah.
Do you have questions for each other?
Tyler, who inspires you the most day to day?
How are you doing?
Oh, you do. Absolutely.
Really?
Yes.
Because you inspire me the most day to day.
This is great.
Actually, you know what? I do have a real question.
Yeah.
And it would be more for Tyler, and maybe you can't even answer this in front of a group, so I'll ask you later. I haven't been involved in the decision-making for a little bit in this particular area, but can a mage wear, like, some heavy armor that they find, or, like, can a rogue pop on, like, you know, whatever? Is that discussable?
Yes, it's discussable. Yes, we're doing that.
Oh.
Yes, mages can wear heavy armor, things like that. I'm not going to explain exactly how it works, but yeah, right now.
Oh, cool.
Right now you can.
Yeah.
We'll cut it.
I was just wondering, because I drew it that way.
Mm.
So,
you artists have a tendency to do that.
So if not, then that's it.
Left to right, would you rather fight 100 duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck?
Which has tastier meat?
That's true.
I'd go with 100 duck-sized horses. Step on them.
No way, they all gang up on you. Horses are scary. Have you ever been around a real horse? They're mean. They kick you. They drag you through bushes. They roll around when you're still on top.
They smell.
They neigh at you.
A duck-sized horse?
Yeah.
That's no problem. I was in my mind, for some reason, I was picturing, like, the shape of a horse, but it's all ducks taped together. I thought, I'll fight that. Yeah, just start.
Yeah.
pulling the tape off, yeah.
Weird duck Voltron.
Yeah.
Speaking of mages, I know that, you know, some of us love mage hats and some of us don't love mage hats. Are we able to have them equipped but not have them, you know, you can't look at them?
Hiding the helm?
Hide the helm. Well, probably we'll have a hide the helm button. But we'd rather design hats that are cool enough that you can't live without it. So
there skulls.
Fold a piece of cloth over top of your head.
There are some there are some concepts that may probably never see the light of the day that push mage hats to the very brink of
ridiculousness. Floppiness. Yeah. Flop factor 12.
Defy all physics and
yeah, we're kinda having a religious war about size of hat, what is accessible and you know, it's too niche.
It's tough. It's an interesting one. It's actually a fun exercise. I would tell anyone to try it. It's like designing a mage hat. And this is the this is the fun challenge that we're having, is because rogues own hoods, warriors own helmets, and trying to design something like does it get in the way of your brain, like are you trying to hide that, or is it, how decorative is it? Is it
ceremonial? You do a mind blast in your party hat. Does it come off?
There's totally it's fun. There are a million possible factors with mage hats, so it's quite a horrendously fun task. Mm-hmm.
So this is going to be for the new generation and the current generation consoles, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and PC.
Is there anything other than aesthetics that the new generation of consoles offers as far as game mechanics?
I think that we're specifically trying to make the game experience the same on all five platforms.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oop. Sorry. Oh, by the way, if you are looking for something to do, we have a photo booth over there.
Tying into the whole idea of that mages can wear armor, is it possible that a mage can wear something, can equip something like a great sword as well? I really like having my white mage cleric style characters carrying around a massive great sword to beat the crap out of things. So, as well, so just a question out of that.
Maybe we're not going to talk about that.
I'm all for that as well. I want that character, but I'm not in charge of that.
So earlier you mentioned the gold armor that was in the concept art in the trailer. Mm. Is all of the armor that was in the concept art that you were going through going to be available? I am mainly concerned with the swashbuckling outfit with the large floppy hat.
Many,
I want that.
I love that.
Many
hat.
Are. well, it's, as always, concept art is half wish-making, like, you know, like, we would like to do this. Sometimes it gets, it all depends. Like, I would very much like to say yes, but some of it we may find, like, works better for something else. So I would say not everything there is confirmed. Maybe it's better yet to be edited.
Are you on the side of large hats or against?
The large, yes, I want that.
The awesome sniper hat with the curl up like that? Yeah, that's my favorite hat.
Excellent.
It's a sweet hat. I mean, a lot of the concepts will get made, and then, like, just translating something into 3D, it might change dramatically because the character artist might have, you know, a sweet idea and take it in a new direction, and then we all of a sudden, you know, change everything.
Sometimes something looks amazing as a drawing, and then you make it in 3D, and it looks less amazing. But sometimes it's the opposite. You make a funny sketch, and it looks ridiculous, and then you make it, and it's really cool. So, maybe is the answer to your question.
So one of the things that led to me getting over 700 hours into Dragon Age Origins was the insane modding capabilities on PC. I know you guys talked about making the experience the same across all platforms, but that's definitely a PC-only thing. Is that something that you're even looking into as you're developing, having that modding community available?
Well, I think that we can't really talk about that, unfortunately. Maybe later. Sorry to not give you an answer of any description.
Questions? Don't be shy. Don't be shy. Oh, never mind. I want to ask my question. I'll wait. Do you have a... Go. You can ask a question. Don't be shy.
So earlier, I don't remember who it was, somebody just was talking about how race was going to affect, you know, relationships and, like, what you're wearing. And you mentioned the kunari. So are we going to be able to play the kunari?
I was just talking. I have nothing to do with that. So yeah, I could have said dragon, like, honestly. I was just...
Okay.
Like, if you... Yeah, right? Dragons confirmed as a playable race.
Matt Goldman says fun doesn't happen. Dragons, playable race.
Yeah. Fun is overrated.
So
it's about satisfaction.
So
I played this game for 100,000 hours.
Anyone who sees me ranting on Twitter knows that character customization and customization in general is my favorite part of the game. I will buy games and customize my character, and then I won't play any more than that.
Mm-hmm. What's wrong with you?
I don't think that's a bad thing.
No
I
way,
like,
man.
I'll play it for hours, and I'm okay with that. So, with things like the crafting and the equipment and the character customization, why do you think that's so compelling to a player?
Well, I mean, games are wish fulfillment. A wise man once said that. And being able to wear outrageous outfits with skulls, I wish I could do that. Yeah, I wish I could wear a huge hat and run down the street with a flaming sword. But the game is about doing things that are impossible. So, you know, pure gold plate mail, that's awesome. Everybody likes armor and outfits.
I will make you a giant skull hat and a sword, and you can run down the street. I just want to let you know that's not impossible.
Do you have any ideas?
It is.
I'll make it for you.
Yes, no. When you're a sage, august person such as myself.
I don't need him wearing that in my level reviews.
Yeah.
Matt's intimidating enough.
Yeah.
I personally, I'm a visualist, so I like having my character evolve and look different as I play through the game and, like, look more badass by
like
the end.
Visualist.
Or
a visualist,
yeah.
Future visualist.
That's really good. But yeah, no. To key into the wish fulfillment aspect, or just the story, wish fulfillment tied in with stories. I mean, that's part of how we even go about designing some of this stuff to begin with. Is that there are like these awesome archetypes that we all kind of want to fulfill in certain ways. So, kind of being able to build stuff towards that, so you can build. You know, there's not just one kind of rogue. There are, like, particular kinds of rogues. So, like, they're not all warriors are alike, but there are these archetypes that people love. There's, like, you know, the big armored tanks and the Conans and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, you try to lean in and fulfill as many of those as possible, just because it's so much fun.
Yeah, everybody loves Halloween. So this is just not Halloween for yourself. It's Halloween for you and nine other awesome characters.
Well, another thing it tends to foster too, I think, is like with everyone that's here this weekend, just the sense of community where you go and you play your game and you make your characters this way, and then you go and talk to your friend and you say, "Hey, I made my person look like this. It was really awesome." "Oh, really? I made him look like this. It was rad." And then you all come here and dress up like that, and it's awesome. So,
you heard it here first. BioWare makes games for the community.
Yeah.
That's never going to be the Kotaku headline.
I have a question. So I also like creating, customizing my character, and sometimes I have to restart because when I have it, you know, in 3D and really kind of moving, I see how the nose is too big or the mouth doesn't look right. So can you just take a step back and you have your character in an editable form and adjust and continue, like, start over, instead of just starting from scratch and trying to remember what hair I had?
You mean the face specifically?
Yeah, like hair, face, things like that.
We had that in DA2. Yeah, you went to the mirror of the black mirror, the mirror of many things, and you could melt your face and start again.
Everything, so okay.
Yeah.
Before I run around, who's next? Oh, gosh. Okay. Here, we're going to pass.
In Dragon Age Origins, you guys had a character by the name Sten, I believe. You save him. And I'm just wondering, like, with the current race updates with Dragon Age, does he look like a big, white, horned guy now?
Well, Sten actually features prominently as a character in our lovely Dark Horse Dragon Age comic. You should probably read that, and you'll know all about Sten.
Okay.
Yeah. No, he still looks awesome the way he used to, but with better armor.
Next question. Cool.
So as far as crafting, can you, like, screw up and wreck your items and have to restart, or is it something where there's only certain combinations that will work?
I think we strive to make it so you can't eat a rock, but there are there's like certain mechanics that Tyler can tell you all about that make it fun to gamble.
They told me I'm not allowed to talk about
that. Can't talk about that. I'm sorry.
No, not really. No.
Okay.
We'll have a little confirmation too as well.
Like random mutations and unexpected sort of things.
No, you don't like go out
how
and
these nug toes get on here.
Yeah.
What the?
Yeah. You can't. No, you can't do that. I mean, you can, and like I said, you can go back and fix things, and it's just a matter of, you know, slaughtering more nugs. You know, getting their blood this time.
Yeah.
Actually make a sword sentient by accident.
Yeah, definitely. I don't like those kind of surprises. I mean, it's fun when a game responds to you in an unexpected way, but it's not fun when it nerfs your game and kills your favorite sword. It is broken, and it can never be replaced because it was completely randomly generated or something like that.
How about, will there be more exotic weapons in this game, like maybe like glaives and spiked knuckles and spears and shit like that? Mm-hmm.
Did we get the assault rifles pulled over yet?
Well, we have mechs, right?
Bamboo mechs, rocket-powered airplanes, bows with bowstrings, how about that?
Yeah.
Huh?
Confirmed.
Confirmed, technology. Yeah.
Confirmed, bowstrings.
Yeah, bowstrings, we got that. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to confirm all the weapons we're releasing just yet.
Sorry for being so far. So with the crafting system, you can make your own swords and customize your own stuff, and that's really cool. But some of the items in the previous two games were kind of unique and had their own unique, like, interesting stories. Are we losing that? Okay.
No, like the Legion of the Dead plate from DAO, something that's specific to lore and found. No, we'll still have legendary items.
You have lots of space for you to explore and find really cool things.
Next question. We're running out of time for the panel, so get your questions.
Oh, one at the very far corner there.
Oh, yes, you haven't asked a question yet. Your priority. Oh my God, we're running out of time. Will you get your question in? Yes, you will.
Hi, so... I had a question about, okay, so in Origins you had this character, or you had a person named Master Wade, and he made the Drake Scale armor back when. And I was curious whether, I know there's crafting in Dragon Age Inquisition, and I wanted to know if there's going to be like a master armor, a master crafter in Inquisition that we can go to instead of having to craft ourselves, and they have like special armor or anything like that.
Yes, there will be. The part of the whole spiel and what's going to be fun about the Inquisition is the idea that you have people for that. So you don't make your own potions. You're the Inquisitor. You have an organization, and you build up its strength. You have people to make armor for your armies, to customize your clothes and build your base. You're not there, you know, like there's no mortaring minigame to fix the tower. You don't have to like, repair, forge nails. You have people for that.
I would love that.
Yeah.
Ding, ding.
So it's Connect. You were asking about Next Gen. It's all Connect. Forging minigames.
Yeah, it's kind of a neat opportunity because just like with the followers, like you say, like the followers we use as part of an opportunity to personify things that are going on in the world or personify a particular group's opinion. And in a way, too, it's so much fun to characterize an activity like that, to put a face behind, you know, the armory or whatever it ends up being. Yeah,
Recently at another convention, David Gator confirmed that we will at least learn more about Flemeth in the third game, but he didn't actually confirm that she would be in it. Have you guys been designing Flemeth armor?
Matt, have you been designing any Flemeth armor? Should we know about that? I really like her armor as it is, I got to say.
Yeah,
she looks pretty good in those boots.
Why do you need armor when you can turn into a dragon?
Yeah, exactly.
It's true. I haven't drawn anything to date, but fall 2014, you know.
We have a lot of things left to make.
Oh, shit, write that down. Fully customizable Flameth armor.
So you mentioned being able to change the colors on the armor. Is there any kind of, like, templating that you can do, like, in the style? Like, have, like, I want my armor to look in this style with these colors, and I want all my team to look the same, so I can just apply that template to all the armor for my people, for all the team?
Not really.
Yeah, sort of.
Yeah,
I mean, yeah. Really
sort of like having your Inquisition will have like a uniform kind of thing.
Yeah. Again,
you could definitely do that. Yeah. I'm just. It can't really explain without giving a lot of details of how things work. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, there's materials and patterns and styles and overrides and.
You're telling all the things I was told specifically not to say.
Yeah. And then. Yeah, I mean, you get to a ridiculous number of slots where there's, like, 10 different things you can add, and then pretty soon there's, like, GUIs on top of GUIs, and, yeah, it's pretty awesome. For power user.
Will you incorporate some sort of N7-esque type armor?
I keep asking for... I want that as a DLC. 99 cents, and you get, like, a nano rifle... And then the dragon comes down and you say, "What's up?" And there's just nothing but ribs left. As far as I'm concerned, but I'm just the art director.
High-powered crossbow.
Armor-piercing incendiary swords.
So you mentioned that you can equip heavy armor, so mages and stuff like that. Will the equipment be restricted by stats, by level, a combination? Some other esoteric thing we don't know yet?
Man, you're going to continue not knowing yet.
Yeah, we still got a lot of time left to kind of iron out a lot of this stuff. This thing, a lot of it is in progress, so it's not even that... Can't say, it's just we don't want to say one thing and then...
Yeah, we're working on it. Yeah. So we like this. We're going to try this one different.
Imagine the most rewarding system that could possibly be made. We're making that, but better.
So if you had all of the time and all of the resources in all of the world, what is one thing, and not even with this game... in the future that you would like to see made in, like, equipment and crafting?
Now we've done everything already. Yeah. Yeah, no. Tyler?
That's a good question. I'm not sure how to answer this without talking about things we're already doing.
Okay, 50 years in the future, yeah. I want to be able to, you know, you customize an outfit, and then you send that file, and then a 3D printer, like, prints it out of, like, real leather and metal, and then you can totally wear it around, and then you're like, I don't even like this anymore. I'm going to just put it back in the hopper and, like, print out some, like, gold helmets for a party. That's what I want. That's Dragon Age 80.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, I can't beat that answer.
Yeah. 3D printing, it's a real thing. Right now it's all made of plastic and everything's like this big, but before you know it, you can make like engine components out of like, you know, SolidWorks and all that. This could totally happen.
Like I'm trying to figure out how you would 3D print leather, but then melt it down.
They printed, you know, there's some organization that printed a kidney. Did you guys read about that?
Yeah.
Right? And they're like growing it like... I don't like killing animals too much, so, you know, it'd be nice if you could just print out some salmon fillets. Somebody figured out how to do that.
Okay.
So you could print out leather.
All right.
You'd need detailed file specs, you could do it with Dragon Age 80.
Dragon Age Inquisition, printing salmon.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You can bake salmon in other games. Our game, you can print it and bake it for real.
Okay.
So,
as a player, I tend to be a bit of a hoarder when it comes to the items because I'm like, they all look so awesome. I might want to wear it again someday. So even with the subdivision of, like, this is your weapons area in the inventory and this is your armor and your accessories, they can still get really full.
Mm-hmm.
Now with a bunch of characters and all the customization, is there a bit more robust filter system or kind of tagging things as, hey, these are especially special for this reason or that reason?
Yeah, you'll be able to mark to sell or come sort things and filter and store them at your base and different stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be organized by categories, subcategories, and you can store things and, you know, you'll have a castle. You can have like a whole rack of outfits.
That would be kind of great if you could customize it to look like a hoarder lived there.
Okay.
Yeah, write that one down.
Stack of newspaper.
Oh, God.
Yeah, piles of dead cats.
Dead nugs.
Dead nugs.
All right. We've got time for one more question.
All right. Our last question was really killer.
Good,
so who's going to
really
beat that
good
one?
Question. There's a lot of pressure.
No one wants to do it.
Oh, I see.
Behind you.
Always behind me.
Going back to the 3D printing, did you know there's actually a British lab that has managed to get lab-grown mincemeat for hamburgers?
Excellent. The future is here.
I hope that that's our big headline from this weekend.
Yeah.
We're gonna go
Dragon
back to
Age
the
promises to be an actual reality simulator. Yeah.
Give you a hug at night. You know.
Give you a hug
make
at
you
night.
Some tea.
Yeah.
Well, do you guys have any final words for our fans on equipment, crafting, customization?
Thank you for packing this room right to the back curtain. That's pretty awesome. Yeah.
This is gorgeous. Wait, I need to take a picture of this. Okay, hang on. I need to put my password. Hang
Every
on.
Smile.
Everyone, smile. Look engaged. Someone blinked. Cool. All right, you guys look beautiful. Okay, well, I want a huge, huge, giant round of applause for our panelists and everyone who asked questions. Really great questions. See you guys in a little bit for our next panel. Have so much fun. Thank you guys for always keeping our BioWare base packed and full of fun.
And that brings us to the end of this episode's BioWare Base panel coverage. We hope you enjoyed listening.
Thank you so much. You can find us on Twitter at NerdAppropriate or Facebook /NerdAppropriate. Email us directly. That is Matt, Hillary with one L, Scott, or Ash at NerdAppropriate.com. And we have over 100 episodes to check out. So definitely subscribe and let us know what you think. Thank you so much.
Bye, everyone.